Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and our guest today is Dr. Bobby Braum, Chief Technologist at NASA. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Randy Simpson. Bobby, you've described NASA as having three overarching core competencies, and you've acknowledged that all three are critical for a healthy NASA. Would you briefly describe these competencies for us?
Sure. When I think of NASA, it seems that we have a common understanding of what makes NASA special within the federal government, what makes NASA unique. It's these three longstanding core competencies that date all the way back to the formation of the agency with the Space Act in 1958. NASA has a research and technology competency. It has a flight hardware competency, you know, building and developing flight hardware, and it has an operations competency, operating our missions out in space or in the airspace for aeronautics as well. And when I look across the government, I think that NASA is a special place because it's the integration of all three of those core competencies. You can find that within NASA, and you can't find that everywhere. Now, over the past decade or so, the research and technology competency has been down. We haven't made the critical investments required for that core competency to be healthy. And so my goal and my objective and most of my responsibilities as the chief technologist are to rebuild that research and technology competency so that it can be there and infuse ideas and innovations and technologies into our flight hardware and into our mission operations. Only if all three of these core competencies are healthy will the agency, frankly, be healthy? And will the agency be the cutting-edge organization that the nation expects us to be?
You've mentioned NASA's space technology program. Would you outline for us its strategic vision? How does it actually rebalance near-term mission and far-term technology and innovation investments?
We're actually doing that balance across NASA. The space technology program is focused on those long-term investments. We are investing in a portfolio of technologies that are broadly applicable. And these are technologies that could affect not the next science mission, let's say, or the next exploration mission, but a suite of missions 5 or 10 years from now. Within the mission directorates, within each mission directorate at NASA, and there are four, there's the Aeronautics Mission Directorate, the Science Mission Directorate, the Exploration Systems Mission Directorate, and the Space Operations Mission Directorate. Within those four mission directorates, they invest in what I would call near-term or mission-focused technology. To be honest, they've been doing that for years. They know how to do that. They do that very well. What's been missing is this longer-term or more strategic set of technology investments. And so together, between the new space technology program and the technology programs within the mission directorates, overall, NASA has a good balance between near-term and far-term technology development.
Would you tell us more about NASA's early-stage innovation program, the key elements, in what ways you're seeking to ensure the development and infusion of innovative technologies to reduce costs and improve performance?
NASA's space technology program is going to be managed within three divisions. One of those is the early stage innovation division. That's the division that's going to focus on the revolutionary ideas of the future. These are concept studies. These are technology assessments. These are visionary ideas about future NASA missions or future technologies that could impact a NASA mission 10, 20, 30 years in the future. Mostly these programs will be, these will be relatively small dollar value awards. They'll be made to organizations that could include folks in the government, in academia, in industry. What we'll be looking for in these programs are people's visions of the future. And we'll be making those awards in a competitive manner because, frankly, we're looking for the best ideas, wherever those ideas may come from. I fully expect America's universities to be involved in this program. I think small business will certainly play a large role here. And I think our government labs will have a big role in early stage innovation. One program that I can mention, just to give you a specific example, is the NASA Institute for Advanced Concepts. The NASA Institute for Advanced Concepts existed previously. It was a very popular program. It engaged external innovators, folks outside of NASA, in the development of visions of the future for, you know, revolutionary ideas for 20, 30 years out in NASA's missions. That program was actually terminated a few years ago, and there was a NRC study, a National Academy study that was done. There have been congressional hearings on this topic. There's been a broad grassroots level set of support for bringing this program back. And so one of the things I'm actually very happy to do within early stage innovation is to recreate the NIAC, and that's what we're doing. The NIAC is back.
Could you tell us a little bit about the game-changing technology program and some of the disruptive technologies you're trying to incubate? And tell us what you mean by disruptive technologies, and to what extent does this program focus on maturing and advancing push technologies that may lead to entirely new approaches for NASA and other aerospace?
The game-changing division is very important to us. It is the piece that has been missing in NASA's past technology programs, frankly. In the past, NASA has done some concept work. We've done a lot of systems analysis and concept work. And we've actually flown some technology missions. But what we've been missing, and some have termed it the valley of death at NASA, what we've been missing is the program to take some of those innovative ideas and prove them out in our laboratories, in ground-based testing, prove the fundamental physics of those ideas are valid, and transition them from paper study land to flight. And that's really what we're going to do in the game-changing program. The game-changing division, I should mention, is very similar in nature. It's built upon the lessons learned from DARPA, from ARPA-E, from IARPA. It's really an advanced research project kind of mode, where what we're doing there is we have a set of grand challenges for the agency, and those grand challenges flow directly out of our strategic plan. And they require, those grand challenges require a set of technological capabilities that we can determine. We're going to solicit from the community in a broad sense. We're going to solicit technological solutions to providing those capabilities, and we're going to fund them through the game-changing division. We're going to run that in kind of a project-type mode. We're not going to give those teams an endless stream of funding. We're going to give them a pretty good amount of funding, in my opinion, for, say, 2 to 3 years and a defined set of start and end dates. And we're going to hold them accountable for their progress. We believe that through that kind of approach, through a DARPA-like model or an ARPA-like model, that within NASA, we will be able to develop these disruptive technologies, these emerging technologies. Now, what I mean by a disruptive technology is a technology that fundamentally changes the way NASA goes about its business. So the mission directorates, they all have long-term plans. They, you know, just as one example, the Exploration Systems Mission Directorate has a roadmap for how it wants to explore space with humans, you know, how human explorers are going to go out beyond low Earth orbit. And that plan exists, but it is a single plan based on a single set of technologies. And those technologies, even ones that we're not going to implement for 25 years, are picked today in that plan. Now, what we want to do through the game-changing program is, frankly, to disrupt ESMD's plans, Exploration System Mission Directorate's plans. We want to infuse a new technology that they maybe didn't even consider today. 5 years from now, we want that technology to be mature enough that they baseline it for their plans to send humans out to an asteroid or to Mars. These kinds of disruptive innovations occur around us all the time, right? The cell phone is a great example. I think we all have them. But 10 years ago or 15 years ago, very few of us did. I know that in my job today, I can't seem to put my cell phone down. Even when I'm in meetings, right, I'm constantly on there checking my email or texting people. It has revolutionized the way we communicate. It has changed the game of communications. While the cell phone is an example right here on the Earth, there are a number of disruptive technologies that one can envision for space exploration or for aeronautics as well.
Well, to do this, demonstration is key to making the promise of game-changing technologies a reality. To that end, would you elaborate on your cross-cutting capability demonstration program? How does it bridge that gap?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the third division within space technology is cross-cutting capability demonstrations. And you're right, that's vital to our success. While it's great to have a program where we're doing ground-based testing and laboratory testing, our missions are still not willing, generally speaking, our missions are still not willing to fly that technology on one of their operational missions until it's been demonstrated in the relevant environment of space. And so within the cross-cutting capability demonstration division, that's what we're going to do. We're going to use low Earth orbit flights. We're going to use sounding rocket and you know, atmospheric flight testing to prove out a small set of technologies, because it tends to be a little bit more expensive, right, to get into space and prove things out there than it does to prove it out in the lab. So we'll do a smaller number of these, but these demonstrations will be very important. And we're going to pursue these demonstrations hand in hand with our customers. Our customers are these mission directorates, the NASA mission directorates. Our customers could be commercial industry. Our customers could be another government agency. And we're going to pursue these demonstrations with the customers that are interested in that technology innovation for their operational mission, so that they essentially buy in and so that we have an infusion path for that technology directly into an operational mission as we complete our cross-cutting capability demonstration.
Well, Bobby, you mentioned earlier that you are responsible for the strategic coordination and integration of technology investments across NASA. Would you elaborate on your overall integration strategy?
Yes. So that is a very important part of the job. As I mentioned, within each of the organizations at NASA, within each of the mission directors, there are focused technology, you know, near-term technology programs. And the space technology program is more strategic and more long-term in investments. So one of my jobs is to coordinate and integrate those disparate programs to make sure that we're, you know, as an agency, we're speaking with one voice, to make sure we don't have a lot of redundancy, a lot of overlap in these programs, and just as important, to make sure there aren't gaps, right? So that program one doesn't think program two is funding something and program two thinks program one was funding that important technology and neither one is, and the technology just, you know, falls through the cracks. Now, the way we're going about doing that is we actually developed a governance model for technology within NASA. Because the investments in technology had been so low for the past many years, there was no governance model. There was no governing philosophy for how technology development would be done in the agency. So this is also something new. And the governance model is fairly logical. Basically, we have something called the NASA Technology Executive Council. It consists of the leaders of each of these organizations and myself, and we meet regularly, and we review our investments, our technology investments, we review our technology progress, and in these cross-cutting areas where we're working on, where I might be sponsoring something that's of interest to two or three of the mission directorates, we communicate, you know, we talk about the progress, and we talk about the infusion path for that technology. We started operating in this manner in May, and we've had one of these meetings every month since as part of our planning process leading into the beginning of this fiscal year.
How does NASA research make a difference? We will ask Dr. Bobby Braun, Chief Technologist at NASA, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.